Okay. I think we're speaking on fruitfulness this week. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this word that you've laid on my heart. And Lord, as we look at your scriptures, I pray, Lord, you prepare hearts to receive what you want to say to them. I pray that people hear the voice behind the voice this morning, Father God, and you speak to us powerfully, God. Help me deliver this word as well. Because without you, I'm nothing, Lord. We need you now, Lord. Holy Spirit, come, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Commit this word into your hands, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. So, the first scripture is Genesis 1:28. Good job, would you adjust that? Thanks. Thanks. So, Genesis 1:28 says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every little thing that moves on the ground. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about fruitfulness this morning. And God from the beginning said that he wanted fruitfulness in our lives.
We'll get there in a minute.
Yes. Okay, praise God. Yeah, so from the beginning we can see that God wanted there to be fruitfulness in our lives. And before the fall, this was his command. And it's a principle of creation. It's in God's DNA. So, and he wants us to be fruitful. So he's instructed us to go forth and multiply, first of all. And then in John 15, 1-8, we see Jesus teaching about the vine. He said, I'm the tree vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you hear fruit unless you remain in me. Sorry, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Okay, so Jesus is showing us how to produce fruit in a New Testament style here. And he's saying to do it, we need to remain in him. We need to be having his words in us. And then we will show ourselves to be his disciples. Verses 3 and 4. You are really clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. So we need to remain in the vine. If the image is of a vineyard producing grapes, okay? And so Jesus is saying, you need to stay in him to produce the fruit. So in the beginning, the fruit was to go and produce children and make families. And he's still saying that. He's still saying be fruitful like that. But Jesus, however, is talking about spiritual fruit here. He's not really talking about the result of our works in our life. He's talking about spiritual fruit being on display in our lives. So what is this fruit? Let's look at Galatians 5:22-23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, fruitfulness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So this is producing Christ-likeness in our lives. I don't know if you're on the show my age. Does anyone remember the ads, the man from Del Monte says yes? Do you remember that? When he flies across, flies in on his plane. And the man from Del Monte, he says yes. Okay. Do you used to flying on his plane, and he used to come to test the fruit. He used to come test the fruit to see if it was worthy for sale by his company. He didn't want no duff fruit with the Del Monte label on it. He wanted the best so that his company name would be improved. He wanted the stuff that was ready to be consumed. He was a fruit tester. And I tell you, we will have people come into our lives to test our fruit. We'll have people whose behaviour will put us under duress to see if our fruit that is being produced is real, to see if we have been in the vine. And there will be fruit. When we're in the vine, when we stay in the vine, when we stay in a relationship with Jesus, there will be fruit. Also, we need to stay planted in a church where we are, because we need to be planted near the water to bear the fruit. And the water is symbolic of the Holy Spirit, Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sits in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. Amen. Yeah. This is a picture of someone in Christ. This is a picture of someone in Christ and in church, properly in church, in fellowship with other Christians, becoming a member, like Anita just has. They're tithing. They spend their time studying the Word. They're not seated with those who would mock the church or mock God. They're not walking down the path that the sinner would take. They want to go God's way. They want to be with God's people. They delight in doing what the Bible tells them to do, and they want to be being constantly refreshed by the Holy Spirit. So they're delighting in the Lord. And if the soil is right, and they are well watered, that means they're walking in the Spirit, and they are getting the light of the Word, they will be bearing fruit in their lives. So unlike spiritual gifts, fruit is grown in our lives. The spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, gifts are given to us. So the gift is given and then fanned into flame, whereas the fruit is grown in our lives. So there's a process. There's a process to growing the fruit. And part of the process can involve pruning, which involves submitting to God's pruning. Notice, it's only those branches that produce fruit that get pruned. The others get cut off and burned. So what does that look like? Well, I've got a wife who does pruning. Lynette goes out to the garden with her pruners and she prunes her roses. And it looks like she's doing irreparable damage to these bushes. I've got to tell you, I look at it and all that's left is a stick, right? But she assures me there's a lot of planning gone into this. There's a lot of preparation. And she knows what she's doing. She knows how to cut them. And last year, I've got to admit, I was amazed at how that rose bush came back from nowhere. It just came back and flourished 10 times better than it ever was before. But we had to look at bare branches for a long while. And then it burst into life. And likewise, God will prune us. He will prune us to get the best out of us. Yeah. And he knows exactly where to trim us. So if we have started bearing fruit, and we think we're doing right, and we face barriers, we face disappointments, we're facing frustrations, that's actually a good thing. In fact, the more you face, the better it is. Because God only prunes those ones who are bearing fruit.
That's right.
Of course, you might face barriers, disappointments when you're in sin. But that's different. That's different. And hopefully, we will know that. We will always know when we're in sin and what's causing barriers and disappointments there. But the pruning that God gives us, we will know is because we're bearing fruit. So I've been told that when you prune a tree, there are two types of branches that need cutting off. There are those that are growing in the wrong direction, And there's the sucker branch, okay? The one growing in the wrong direction has to come off because it rubs up against the other branches and causes disease to enter into the plants. Where do I even begin with that? Okay. If somebody's believing a lie and going the other way to the rest of the people in the church, it's going to cause problems. And they will affect people. It will cause disease. So God needs to deal with them. He needs to deal with that. And the sucker plant can shoot out beneath a branch, beneath a grafted branch, and take all the energy out of the tree. I don't think I need to say any more about that either. It will suck you dry. So God prunes it. Now, when I was working in Teen Challenge, when I came into the ministry, it went through a period of pruning.
Right.
All the staff there were on quite high wages. And suddenly, the government came round and used to get £500,000 grant a year from supporting people. And supporting people came round and they went up to the chapel and there's a lectern there. They said, what's that for? And the director said, that's where we bring the word of God every morning. He said, well, we can't do that anymore. Okay, you're going to have to take that out of the program. He said, well, we're not prepared to do that because this is God's program. Everything is based on the word of God and we teach by the word of God. So they withdrew the funding from the ministry, okay, because the ministry stuck to its guns.
Right.
And all the staff were laid off. All the staff were laid off. It seemed like a disaster. It seemed like a disaster. But what happened was staff came in, and I was one of them, people came in who wanted to do it, who really loved the ministry and put their all into it. And I was one of them, and suddenly an LVA, the project leader, he said, you have to go out around the churches and raise money day. So I was taking the guys out, doing presentations around the churches, and do you know the ministry flourished? It flourished so much because there was people coming into the ministry who wanted to do it. They weren't doing it for the money, who were just wanting to serve God and love the ministry. Praise God. We're blessed in this church, I've got to tell you, because we've got children's workers, we've got youth workers who do it because they love the youth, because they love the children. We're not paying them any money, they're just kind of refusing to budge. Maybe we're refusing to plug in properly. Well, if that's us, it's time to get planted properly. It's time to go the whole way and let God do his thing. It's time to get in the vine. But people want to try and do their own thing. They want to be lone rangers and they don't prosper. They go round in circles as Christians. I tell you, we will not succeed. We will not bear fruit. We only bear fruit when we start doing it God's way. We come to church regularly, we plug in with God, we submit to his pruning, submit to his ordinances, staying in the vine, coming to the Bible study to get his word inside us. We need to get rid of that branch that shoots out from the flesh, get rid of that fleshly idea that comes to kill, steal and destroy.
Amen.
The stubborn resistance that's pulling us back. It's stopping our progress. The bad idea, that sucker branch, God will only give us so much time to deal with it. And the scripture says, their leaf will not wither. That means we have old age. We're able to speak wisdom into the life of young people. We've had a lifetime of prospering in the vine. We have testimonies of how God has come through for us as we've persevered. And guess what? That happened to me. I went through that, but God came through. I leant on God and he came through for me. I leant on God and he healed me. You can tell them that the fruit was grown in the valley, not on the mountaintop. Fruit orchards are always planted in the valleys. No, it's not on the mountaintop where the fruit appears. It's not the feelings you get, good feelings. The fruit is grown when we feel bad sometimes, when we're going through the valley. And we can tell them that's what happens to us when we're planted properly. Real fruit comes from facing toughness. And we can impart our experience onto young people. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. Do you know palm trees have roots that go down up to 6 meters deep? That's the depth of a house. They go down so deep, and when a hurricane comes, they can bend right over because they're full of oil, they're full of sap, they're flexible, they won't get uprooted, their roots go right down, and they can bend. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, we can be flexible as well. We can adapt to changing circumstances. We can weather the storms. When we're fully planted, we can receive and receive in our refills of the Spirit. We're able to survive the storms. We need to be walking with God, and then we're able to bend down. Because we're humble, and we're flexible, and we're not worried about our own kingdom anymore. We're concerned about building the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what's coming first in our lives. We're concerned about the ones who are missing out on all this. I tell you, there's such a need for Jesus in this world because there's so much pain out there. And it's only Jesus who can bring the healing that this world needs. It's only the ministry of the Holy Spirit that's going to bring relief to this world. Praise God, there is a balm in Gilead now for the world's problems. That's an Old Testament name for salvation. Through Jesus Christ, he's able to heal us and heal this land. We need to be producing fruit so we can minister this therapy to the world. When we're overflowing with the Spirit and everyone can eat of our fruit, and people can tell the difference in their lives when the fruit is grown. You know, my next sort of boss, and he's a hard-working boss, and I mustn't say his name in case he ever listens to this, but he's hard-working, he does things the world's way, okay? He will sack people, he will stop their wages, he will shout at people, and the next started working with this guy, and she's going, let's try a different approach to this, right, okay, in these meetings. And he came in the other day and said, I've got a different mantra now, it's called, what would Lynette? She nearly fell over. This aggressive guy has suddenly said, he now holds his breath and says, I wonder what Lynette would do in these circumstances. Because he's noticed the fruit in her life, how peaceful she is. And she remains calm under pressure. And she remains professional. And people are sitting up and taking notice. And this happens when we take a different approach to what the world can bring. People will notice our fruit. You know, on my apple tree, a hose, that's mine actually, it's next door neighbours, and it leans over the fence. But when the fruit gets heavy, the branches bend down low. And that's because they're full of sap. And I wonder if we're able to get into that position. Are we able to bend low? It's only when the sap is rising in the tree that it is able to bend low. And when we're laden with fruit, we're able to bend low. I wonder if we can touch our toes spiritually this morning. I wonder if we can get down low to avoid the wind resistance. Because when we're down low, the enemy will pass right over us. We need to be well watered to get down low, to get down into that tough position. Those that can bend low have produced fruit in their lives. John 4, verse 14, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to everlasting life. Planted in the right place, well watered, then we'll be able to give of ourselves. You know, in this life, we're fighting two spiritual beings, and both of them are trying to kill us. We're fighting two spiritual beings, and they're both trying to kill us. One is Satan, and one is God. Because God wants us to die. He wants us to die to our flesh. He wants us to die to our plans. He wants us to submit to his plan for living. And until we do that, we won't produce any fruit. Amen. John 12, 22. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. In my version, this is fruit. Fruit is grown under the right conditions. When you're planted in the right place, when you're well watered, when you have plenty of sunlight, plenty of the light of Christ in our life. Walking in the light of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and having nothing to do with darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. But what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And Satan, the other spiritual being, will produce counterfeit fruit in our lives. Fruit that looks good but isn't. Jesus addresses this in Matthew 7, verses 15 to 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. I'm telling you, don't get apples off a pear tree. We need to look at their lives and see, are they living? John 10:10. The thief does not come except to kill, steal, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. So he cuts off the unfruitful branches. So it's possible to be in him, but be unfruitful. It's possible to come to church. It's possible to be faithful and not to bear fruit. Fruitfulness is the result of discipleship, and discipleship is pruning. To reproduce the nature of God here on earth, to reproduce the essence of God, we need to be pruned, we need to be discipled. And when we produce fruit in our lives, it will cause people to look and go, that's God right there. Seeing that person, that must be God working in their lives. Like Moses with a burning bush, he looked and said, what is that? What is that? That's God. That must be God doing that.
Yes.
Like with Paul, healing the crippled man in Acts 14:11. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in human form. I wonder, does our life cause men to stop? I wonder if the evidence of Christ is in our lives with the fruit that we bear. It's talking about character. What is our character? It's not enough to say we are saved. Our life must be screaming out salvation, because talk is cheap. One man living the life is better than 10 men talking about it. That's why we have the Acts of the Apostles. I'm not the talk of the Apostles. It's about the Acts of the Apostles. It's not about what we know about God. It's what we do with what we know about God. And it's possible to abide in him and not have his words abiding in us. It's possible to have information about God, but with no action following. It's possible to be faithful and not be fruitful. Come to church again and again, reading the word over and over, but not applying it to our lives. Fruitfulness comes with spiritual maturity. It comes when we grow, when we've been discipled, when we've been pruned, when we face adversity and let God bring us through. The tree don't produce any fruit until it's mature, and so it is with us, and so we need to settle down with God. So pruning comes to the fruitful branch. It might come in the form of disappointment. Maybe things are not working out the way we thought. Maybe it didn't happen the way we thought. Maybe God didn't work the way we thought he should. But pruning happens so that we will press in with God. Pruning makes us press in with God. Makes us press in with prayer. Makes us press in worship. Because that's when we start producing more fruit. The closer we come to Jesus, the more we exhibit his attributes. We take on his mantle of joy and peace. We become tolerant. We forgive quickly. We're overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit, like a spiritual smoothie. It's all packed in there, and we'll taste the fruit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.